say. If you're afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, knock, so let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday to you. Nathan Zagura, Andrew Gribble here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. The British Open kicking off. My man John Daly, one under par. As I said, I'd love to see him in the hunt. He was at four under, though, Gribbs, and now he's fallen back to just one.
He's looking good, too. I'll say, even for John Daly looks of greatness, this is one of his better looks, I think.
Fashion-wise, he's great. He's listed at 185 pounds on his official tour card. Not a chance. That counts like half of his body, but it's good to see him out there. He's bogeyed 16 and 17. That's a little bit disappointing. Tiger Woods, what did I say about him yesterday, Gribbs? What did I say?
I don't think I thought he would do well.
I said he's done. D-O-N-E. He's done.
In fairness, he rallied on the back nine today.
He rallied to shoot a plus four, 76. Where is he? Tied for 142nd. He's done. Mentally, he's done. He's lost it. He's done.
It's even worse because the course is playing so easy today,
yes.
Especially for British Open standards.
Robert Streb shot a 66, for crying out loud. That's the first time that guy's ever been under par in a major championship ever. Dustin Johnson at 7 under. You've got Retief Goosen, Paul Laurie, Jason Day, all at 6. Zach Johnson still on the course. He's at 6. Jordan Spieth's at 5. I mean, you've got to go. You've got right now so many people under par, it's ridiculous. And Tiger Woods, not amongst them.
He's right with Tom Watson, though.
81 golfers. Yes, he's right there with Tom Watson. John Daly, by the way, just parred number 18 to finish the day at 1 under. So the people that he beat, Justin Leonard. What's happened to Justin Leonard? Wow. He beat Nick Faldo. He beat Kevin Streelman.
Mark Calcavecchia.
He beat Rod Pampling. But he was dead last among the people that had played 18 holes with only 10 greens in regulation.
It's tough, especially because the front nine that's where he ran into trouble right away, and that's what was playing even easier today. Yeah, I mean, the back nine was tough, and that's so he played some of his better golf on the back nine, but just to save par and take it in, and he's going to need some magic to make the cut.
There is no magic. It's over. It's gone. It's finito. Sayonara. See you later. Like, he's done.
I'm not really even like watching him closely when he's playing. I mean, what is he doing wrong outside of everything?
I mean, he's not hitting greens. His ball striking is inconsistent at best. He's struggling. He's always been wild off the tee, but he used to be a great putter. He's not as good of a putter as he used to be. He's not good, and mentally he's done.
And putting is all mental.
The whole game of golf is mental. Golf is the most mental game there is, and he's lost it. He's lost his edge. Nobody fears him. He used to be feared. It was like, oh, I can't. Why would I even try? I can't compete with Tiger. And they all know they can whoop him.
It's just, I wonder if outside of all the personal problems, if this was just physical, do you still think he'd be having this kind of breakdown? Because he's had some surgeries and gone through that, and he can't swing the way he used to, and that's what made him such a special golfer. I wonder how much. I don't think the downward spiral will be like this, but it would. I think he'd be trending downward no matter what.
I think that's probably fair, but a lot of these golfers have stayed good for a long time. I mean, he's still what? How old is Tiger?
He's got to be like mid-30s.
Yeah, mid to late 30s at the oldest. So to me, it's a mental thing. David Duval, people forget this, and I know that this is a much grander demise, but David Duval was the number one player in the world for a couple year stretch and then couldn't break 80.
Yeah.
They just lose it.
It's like like the yips, like Rick Ankiel in Major League Baseball, Chuck Knobloch.
Steve Sachs back in the day.
I mean, I want someone to write like books on this subject because it's just, it baffles my mind. I mean, Rick Ankiel was nuts. I mean, he was a great pitcher that just like started, you know, throwing it to the backstop every time. I mean, that's just, it blows my mind. I mean, that's got to be something that we see it in baseball and golf. I mean, but it's got to also affect other sports, you think.
It's got to be. I mean, it's just, this is an amazing collapse because this course is wide open. I've played it. I played it twice, and I've played from the same tees that they're playing. The only hole that looks different to me is 17 because there just isn't room on this course for it to have these other tees. But when I played 17, I teed off much closer to the Old Course Hotel sign, and they're teeing off from way back at like 490. But, I mean, I played out there. The course is the course. It's laid out. They can't really trick it up. I mean, there's not much they can do to it. And I beat Tiger Woods. I shot 75, 72 in my two rounds. Tiger.
Is this one of the easier British Open courses of the ones that they use?
As long as, if you're hitting it well, yeah. I mean, I would think so.
Yeah. Because it's the weather. It's the weather that
it's the wind. Up. And if you mess up and get into the bunkers, you can get into trouble. But as long as you stay out of the bunkers, it's not that hard of a course. You can hit the ball pretty much anywhere. You can hit as far left as you want on every single hole. I mean, there are a lot of holes you can't go right on, but you can go as far left as you want. The wind is what makes it hard. I actually shot my 75 was better than my 72, but that came on a day where it was the 72 came on a very calm day. The 75 came on a day of insane winds, and I actually felt that I played better that day. But I birdied 18 both days, which I loved, and I birdied seven the road hole one of the 2 days and part of the other day.
Yeah, before I came to the office today, I turned on the TV for a little bit. I saw golf robot Jordan Spieth. Put it in the bunker. Yeah, he put it in the bunker, and he had no options. I mean, he just had to chip it out in the fairway, and, like, he had to hit his third shot before Dustin Johnson took his second shot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just nuts. And then, of course, he, like, made two great shots and then got a bogey and didn't make it a disaster of a hole. But even golf robot Jordan Spieth has struggled a little bit, but then he's right in the mix there.
Yeah, it really is a challenge when you have, you know, these bunkers, that depth, it becomes very, very hard. And if you get too close to the face of it, sometimes you have no choice but to go sideways or to go backwards or whatever it may be. And the road hole is the hardest hole on tour every year they have the open there. They're averaging about a 4.7 on a par four, which, I mean, you know how good these guys are.
Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable.
See, the thing I'm starting to like, though, about golf, and not just because, you know, Tiger's taken a step back in terms of golf, a big step back.
He's terrible.
But I think the good thing is at these majors, we consistently are seeing the same names near the top of the leaderboard. Whereas I think before it was like always Tiger and a random guy or two.
Sure.
But now it's like the same group of younger golfers that is performing well at these majors. I mean, Dustin Johnson's up at the top. Jason Day is up at the top. And then, you know, obviously Jordan Spieth, Carl Schwartzel and Oosthuizen. Those guys are always around for the majors. It seems like they're always near the top. Luke Donald. I mean, it's a good group of younger golfers. It's a shame Rory McIlroy isn't out there today.
I know. And his golf game came out this week. He replaced Tiger Woods in the EA Sports franchise, and it came out this week. And he's not even out there.
But it's a good mix of when you look at the leaderboard online. It's a good mix of flags, which bodes well for Gibbs.
And the foreigners.
KJ.
All I've been doing, gentlemen, just monitoring the flags. Monitoring the flags.
Well, unfortunately, it only takes one, and the current leader, of course, is Dustin Johnson with
an American flag.
That's all right. Again, if I lose, I'm happy to lose. But Jason Day is lurking right there at -6. Looks like he got that whole vertigo thing figured out. Schwartzel, the guy with the worst teeth known to mankind, he's at 5-under. Oosthuizen's right there.
What about the goose, Retief?
I'm not banking on Retief playing four straight days and keeping it together. My guy Luke Donald, Justin Rose, they're lurking, -4. I love watching our guy, though. I wish John Daly could actually cocktail on the course while he played. It would be legendary. And the pants and the shoes today, fantastic. I loved it. It was fun this morning to watch him play because he can still crank the ball out at 49 years old. And one of the TV guys even said it himself. He looks better now at 49 than he did at 35 in the heart of his benderhood.
Now, does he have a permanent invitation to the Open, or did he have to, like, qualify to get in, or what?
Assuming he's got some kind of exemption.
John Daly.
Are you guys serious?
Is he permanently invited?
He won the British Open.
So that's good for life.
That's what I'm saying.
He won the British Open 20 years ago at St. Andrews.
So yeah.
And the same thing with like Ben Curtis.
He can play. Maybe it's like
here.
50 years or something like that.
It's like 10
years. Yeah, it only gets you, and it gets you exemptions into the other majors, but for a much shorter period of time.
Right, that's what I was wondering, because it's
but
been a while.
I think for the British, I think he's good to play at the British as long as he wants.
I liked it.
Nice little payday if he just simply makes the cut.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want I want John Daly to win.
Coming up in Fact or Fiction, we'll talk a little John Daly.
Oh, God, it would be so great. I remember watching in 1991, not to date myself too much, but I was 13 at the time, when he came out to PGA, he was, you know, the eighth alternate or whatever it was. Nick Price had to withdraw. So John Daly ended up playing in Nick Price's spot with his caddy. You remember that guy, Squeaky, who was like, grip it and rip it? And he comes out and he wins the 91 PGA Championship at Crooked Stick out of nowhere.
I remember that because that's like my first sports video I ever owned was Sports Illustrated's Best in Sports 1991.
Okay.
A big feature on John Daly.
Oh,
that's
the
why
best.
He's been like the first golfer I've known because I was like six in 1991. So it was okay. I guess he's been my favorite golfer the longest because he's the one I knew the longest.
Oh, yeah. I would love to see him have success. And he's been through some tough times. I remember he won the tournament out in San Francisco.
Have you guys read his autobiography?
I have not, and I'm
I have it.
I'm interested, but also scared.
It's phenomenal. You want to talk about sex, drugs, rock and roll, and mixed in with a little golf? Holy moly!
And I bet this story's in there. When he won the tournament in at what's the course called? Harding Park in San Francisco, and then he went right to Vegas and blew it all playing blackjack.
Yes.
Like, I mean, he blew his entire purse, which was hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Isn't this, he's currently 205th on the money list this year in the PGA Tour. So simply making the cut would just almost double his earnings for the year, which is about $91,000.
Oh, yeah.
So these are an important couple of rounds of golf for John Daly.
They certainly are. So today on the show, we'll talk British Open. We can talk John Daly, Tiger Woods, whatever, if you want to talk about that. Aaron Wilson from the Baltimore Sun, the Ravens insider on Twitter, will be with us to recap the Ravens offseason, preview the big storylines approaching their training camp. We also will talk a little Fact or Fiction. We can get into the mailbag. We've got some questions there from yesterday that we can talk about as well. So a lot to do. 216-578-0850. We'll talk also, you know, NBA mulling over or changing their playoff formats. Which playoff format needs to be changed the most, NFL or NBA? I think the NBA does definitely need to make some changes there. I think it's too long of a thing. Also, we'll talk about the franchise tags. The deadline came and went yesterday, and basically everybody got a deal except for Jason Pierre-Paul because he's got the injury situation, so no surprise that one was not done there. So a lot to talk about in the world of sports. Anything you want, hit us up, 216-578-0850. It is Cleveland Browns Daily. It is driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Andrew Gribble, and Gibbs. Gribbs and Gibbs here on CBD. It's the hardest thing for me to do, and it's the most important.